And today I'm dealing with three of the gifts in one, because I think that these three gifts are really an extension of the ministry of Jesus Christ when he was on this earth to the body of Christ. These are three gifts in a category that he has given that a lot of people say, well, these gifts are over. It's probably argued as much because people don't understand it. And again, I'm not trying to get you to be upset or to try to get you angry in any way. First of all, if you're angry, you don't have the gift. Yeah, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, the more I know of the law of God and the word of God, the less I'm offended. When somebody hears something that's incorrect scripturally, and you know what the word of God says, then you can say, Lord, thank you for teaching me from your word. And we need to know more from the word of God. But here's these three gifts that I'm looking at. Let's look in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 12:9. 1 Corinthians 12:9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. I want to categorize these, put these three in the same category, because even though they're very different, as we see, you'll find out why that I place them in the same category. The gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and I mentioned last week, notice it's plural, the gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. Miracles, plural also. And the reason that this is so important is because there's some people that say that, for example, miracles are over. They don't believe that miracles occur. I don't see how you can believe in a God of miracles and doubt that miracles are over. Someone said, well, miracles have ceased. Show me in the Word where that's true. You don't find that in the Word of God. Miracles don't. In fact, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only will there be signs and wonders at that time, but also the Antichrist will possess power to do signs and wonders. So we'll find out in the next sermon, there's the discerning of the spirits to know what's of God and what's not of God, because the devil has power as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given the church power. Now, the reason I've placed these three together is, if you think about it, even though these are three separate gifts, these three, faith, healing, and miracles, if you don't have the gift, or you are not under someone that has the gift, if you are a Christian, Christians can experience these three things without being under somebody with the gift. For example, if you're a Christian, we all have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We live by faith. We walk by faith. You can't please the Lord without faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. If you're saved, you had to have faith in the work of Jesus Christ to take your sin away and believe that he died for the sins of the world. You have to have faith that he's risen from the dead. You have to have faith in his word, faith in his person. If you don't have faith in him, you can't be saved. So we as believers all have faith. And there's times that we even exercise a greater measure of faith. And there's times where our life demands more faith. There's times where fear will battle with our faith. But faith in the knowledge of the Word of God and the power of God always seems to come through at the perfect time. You may have never been around anyone with the gifts of healing, but yet, as a believer, you've been healed. How many of you that you were sick and nobody laid hands on you? Nobody came and through that mighty touch of God and the gift that they had, just maybe at home, you alone, maybe through just the prayers of the church, when we come together and we anoint with oil in this church. It's found in the book of James. Some churches don't like that. They say that that's really teaching that you're supposed to be putting oil on for healing, but if that was the case, it would only be wounds. But he said, is there any sick among you? He didn't say what the sickness was. He said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And when we anoint with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, when you come forward, all of these that gather around you, there may not be a one in the church, this church or any other church, that can claim the gifts of healing when you come to pray. They're not coming forward to anoint you because they necessarily are saying, we all have the gifts of healing. No. They pray, and it's through prayer, the prayer of the church, the prayer of the church leaders, that God answers that prayer. So you could be healed and never come in contact with somebody that has the gifts of healing. That's common among Christians. In fact, if you are here today and God has ever healed you of anything, you're a Christian, God has ever healed you of anything, stand to your feet. All of these people do not stand in prayer lines. Some maybe had gone places for prayer, but they didn't receive their healing because of anyone that they came in contact with. They received their healing because Jesus is Lord, and He heard somebody's prayer. And sometimes they may have been too sick to pray, but God still answered their prayer. I'm telling you, we should be a church that tells the world, Jesus is our healer. The problem with things like healings and then miracles. Have any of you ever had a miracle in your life? Have you ever seen a miracle? I've seen miracles. I've seen great miracles occur. It's wonderful. Sometimes these healings and these miracles come because of medicine. Sometimes they come because of the Master's touch. But I've seen miracles occur. I've seen it happen. I don't have time this morning to go into detail, but I've also seen it happen. Not when anybody was praying or anything else was happening. I've just seen those miracles happen at the right time. Miraculous. Now, healings can fall under miracles because some healings are miraculous. You get a cold, in a sense of the word, it's miraculous how God made our body. We're fearfully, we're wonderfully made. It's miraculous that we get over that and the healing comes. There's times where that you have seen instant miracle. There's times when it's a progress. I could go on and on with all of that. You're aware of those things. But I'm glad that we're in a church that still believes God can heal. And I'm glad we're in a church that still believes in miracles. You say, now wait a minute, the healings and the miracles ceased with the apostles. Wait, you're not through. We'll get through the Word of God. That's not the case. You'll find out. It didn't end with the apostles. But yet, even though that we all have experienced these things, miracles, when nobody else around was praying, miracles. Lonnie handed me a note from one of his relatives. The other night, Wednesday night, when I came in, it was a miracle, wasn't it, Lonnie? A miracle. Sometimes God will, you say, well, preacher, no, it's the medicine. Then why does one person take the same medicine for the same cancer, one get better and one die? Can't explain that. It's not the medicine. Don't give the glory just to the medicine. Give the glory to the Master. But even though that they are all common among believers, they're there. You can't deny it. If you experience, you absolutely cannot deny it. But there are still gifts in each one of these categories. Let's take them one by one very quickly and look at them. First of all, the gift of faith. While we all have faith, there are some people that seem to have a mountain-moving faith inside of them that their faith seems to be gifted by God. Have you ever met people like that? There's people that have that. You've heard us talk about Lois Royster here in the church. Lois Royster had that gift. I believe that. There's people that have that gift that they do not broadcast it. We have a gentleman that comes here regularly to preach. As far as I'm concerned, Dr. Myron Giler definitely has the gift of faith. Out of all the times he's ever been here, you don't get newsletters from him asking for money. You don't hear him talk about give me this and give me that. You most of you have no idea what's happened over the years through that ministry that they have. And he doesn't spend his time raising money. He spends time by faith believing God for it. He's in his 80s now, taking care of a Bible college that has in excess of 120 or 130 students that's there that's studying now that will go out and plant churches. All of these hundreds of churches that's been planted, but yet he's not out fundraising continually. How does that happen? He has to have the gift of faith. It's kind of like the preacher of old that ran the orphanage, Whitfield, in England. And when he had this great ministry, one day they came and they said, the orphans, all of these orphans, hundreds of orphans they ministered to over the years, said, all of the orphans, they're hungry and we don't have any food. What do we do? And you know what he said? Set the table. Put the plates out and put the forks out. The food will be on the table. That's the gift of faith. There are some people, glory to God, there are some people that can see what others cannot see. While we all are saved by faith, there is also a supernatural envisioning inside of people that they see it as though it's already happened. They see potential in people that others cannot see. Christ, remember I said it's an extension of Christ's ministry. Christ looked to Peter and said, Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church. Nobody saw that in Peter. But the Lord, he was teaching us about how valuable it is for people that have that gift to look at others and see the potential in them. Personally, I believe that someone like Roger Duncan has this gift. I've seen Roger take preachers and he'd put them up in the pulpit to preach and I'd scratch my head and say, what are you doing? I mean, it was a mess. Boy, it's quiet. And old Roger get up there and say, glory to God. I'm telling you, God's going to use this preacher. And then I look at their life 20 years later. They pastor large churches, have missionary projects, see things on. Do you know why? He saw something in them that nobody else could see. And his faith invested in them to say, I'm going to pour my life, my money, my ministry into that person because I see potential there. That's one of the great things that we need in the church world today is to stop looking at people that are the finished product and start looking at those that are still seem to be captivated by their surroundings but say, I see something greater in them. There's a great ministry. There's a great blessing to others. There's a great life that God can use. I see a potential in them. Somewhat like the great artist when he looked at a block of stone in front of him and stared at it for hours. And someone passed by and said, what are you doing? And he looked at it and said, what do you mean? They said, you've stared at that stone for hours. And he said, oh no, I'm not staring at a block of stone. He said, I see an angel in there and I'm trying to figure out how to set it free. And he did it. And it became one of the most collectible pieces of that day and time. Let me tell you something. Don't look at others and see nothing. There are people that have that ability to look at individuals and say, by faith, I see something in them. Not only do they see faith in the area with this gift of potential, but also they see it because of perseverance. There are people that have this gift. Let me tell you the difference between us just having faith and someone that has the gift of faith. People that have faith will often quit when they see no results. People that have the gift of faith refuse to quit. They'll die believing it. D.D. Didway had the gift of faith. Wait a minute, preacher. She was believing for a miracle. Yes, she was. But she was in the hero type, the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. You better go back and read that. There's a good majority of those. In fact, there's one that they mention and several that they mention that the Bible says they died having not obtained the promise. But they lived as though the promise was already there. I'm feeling God this morning. Real faith doesn't say, here's the evidence. Faith says whether you see it or don't see it. Bless God, I see it. And faith says, I refuse to quit when others quit. I refuse to stop when others stop. Even when I die, I'll die with a vision and faith in what God has given me that's greater than my abilities. It's the gift of faith. Hallelujah. Then there's healings. Why the gift of healings? Well, it's obvious. First of all, to deliver the sick. They have something that they need deliverance from. Sometimes it may not always be through the hands of medical professionals that this healing comes. Sometimes people don't have money to go to the doctor. Sometimes they're involved in ministry and they can't afford to go to the doctor. I can't tell you the times that I've asked God to give me healing because I didn't have time to go to the doctor. And second of all, I don't like it. Thank God for doctors. I just don't like to go to doctors. I'm not against going to doctors. I just don't like anyone's going to hurt me sometimes. It's to deliver the sick. Second of all, this gift is given. If a person has this gift, it's because they have great passion to see human needs met. There's such a driving force in them to see somebody get something from God that they couldn't get any other way. The other reason is because it's for the praise and glory of God. Can I ask you something? Why does God heal us anyway? What's he want from it? Turn to Matthew 15. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. Matthew 15, 31 is the greatest evidence of it that I've found in Scripture. Matthew 15, 31. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Now, these are days of great miracles. Jesus is performing these miracles. His disciples are going with them, and he's telling them, greater works than these shall you do. Someone said, how could anyone do anything greater than what Jesus has done? Well, Jesus worked in a small area. He didn't travel 100 miles away from home. Most of his miracles, 80% or more, were confined to the Sea of Galilee area. And that's where most of his miracles were performed. When he empowered the apostles to go out and the early church to go out, suddenly they're taking the gospel to the entire world and these miracles are occurring. In Matthew 15, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 31, here we see, let's look at it together. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the what? Dumb to speak. Is that a miracle? If someone that can't speak suddenly speaks? Yes. The maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. Those are miracles. You can't deny it. No doubt about it. I mean, if blind people are seeing and people that are lame are walking, it's a miracle. But look what happened. When these things happen, the Bible says the last part of that verse, and they what? Glorified the God of Israel. Here's the problem, though, with people that just say, I'm going to wait on that to glorify you. They have a tendency to forget what God did, and they cease glorifying him for what he did. I asked you earlier if God had ever healed you to stand up. There was a multitude of people standing up. In reality, you probably shouldn't have been able to hold any of us down this morning. Just for the things that God has done to give us healing. Because every time that he's given us healing, the end result is, it's not just so that we'll feel better. Thank God that is the thing, but there's something greater. The end result is that we are to glorify him. Everything that he does is for his glory. He didn't touch your body because you're someone special. He touched your body because he's God and he has all power to do all things. But yet we have an obligation to say, thank you, Lord, for the healing that you've given to me in my body. Had it not been for God and his divine touch, where would we be today? Many of you here in this sanctuary, you've gotten over the fact that God, through his infinite power, touched you in a miraculous way and did what no doctor could do, did what no medicine could do. He raised you up from a bed of affliction. He spoke the word and the cancer went into remission. He touched your body. He gave you healing, and that's something we ought to always stop and say, Lord, I praise you for your miraculous healing power on my body. He did it to praise the Lord. Do you know why a lot of churches are dead? They never see anything happen. I better move on. That didn't go over too good, but that is why. Then there's miracles. Why does God perform miracles? Well, first of all, to vindicate the name of the Lord. He will have the final say. You can't stop him. You can't destroy him. You can't put a law to put him in chains and shackles. He's God. He has all power. He can do anything. And sometimes when you feel like God's people are on the bottom of the list and that God has forgotten, I want to remind you, God has the final say. He vindicates his name. What is his belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. When we really get to the place where that we say, you know, I hear people all the time say, oh my, I'm worried about the church. Don't worry about the church. They're not talking about this church. They're talking about the church. I'm worried about, don't worry about the church. He'll vindicate his name. It is the church of the living God. It's his church. It's been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is his. He always vindicates his name. Second of all, he performs miracles to deliver from the hand of the enemy. Miracles come because sometimes there's no other way out. The enemy has us surrounded. And there's no way to get by or to get through or to get over. So what God does is he sends a miracle to drive the enemy away. Or to defeat the enemy that we're battling. Have you ever been faced with an enemy that was too big for you to handle? Too great for you to overcome, and God comes in a miraculous way, a way that you never dreamed, a way that you never thought, to prove that it's God, because you didn't do it. You had nothing to do with it. Those miracles mean it's something that you could not do by yourself. It's greater than our ability, outside of our ability. And God performed the miracle. These gifts, all of them, only occur when you step out of your comfort zone. And the need is greater than what we have the ability to meet. In other words, for these gifts to operate, they always had to believe in something bigger than what they were. That means God's bigger than us. These gifts are not about us. These gifts are about God. And they believed that so much that they were willing to do all things to prove it. When they got in situations that they did not have any knowledge, any answers, no direction, God would use these gifts to open the doors for them. Let me give you a proof text. Then I'm going to close. I'm not going to keep you long today. If you will, turn with me. I think Philip's probably the best example of this. Turn with me over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. There's instruction given in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. There is a problem that has arisen. The task of serving the tables have gotten so cumbersome on the preachers and the apostles that they're not able to perform the spiritual duties that God's called them into, because they're so burdened down with doing the manual labor and waiting on the people and serving the people. So God had a solution for that. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, if you look in the list of names that's given about halfway through on that verse, you'll find a man by the name of Philip. These seven men that were full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom were the first deacons in your Bible. So Philip was not an apostle. Everybody get that down. Philip was not an apostle. Philip was a deacon. Philip was a what?
Deacon.
Philip was a what?
Deacon.
Deacon. But now turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Philip Philip gets to Samaria, and there's no preacher. God changes Philip from being a deacon to an evangelist. It's right here in chapter 8. What's that mean? God will make us what He needs to make us. God will get out of us what we can't see within ourselves. Are you following me? When he gets to Samaria, verse 5, chapter 8, verse 5, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now he's no longer serving the tables, he's ministering the word. He's preaching. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the what? Miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Then look in verse 13. Verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with who? Philip. And wondered, beholding the what? Miracles and signs which were done. Philip was not an apostle. Philip was then a deacon. And now Philip is a preacher. Now stay with me. John, turn that off, okay? Hallelujah, breakdown. Now he's a preacher. Are you ready for this? Take a deep breath. You'll never read where Philip did any miracle, had the gifts of miracles or the gifts of healings while he was a deacon. But suddenly he becomes a preacher and he has the gifts of miracles and the gift. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm coming from the book. Just the facts, mister. Just the facts. Suddenly he has this gift. Now you would say, why? That gift is for preachers. Wrong. The gift was given because of the need. The gift was not given because of the person. The gift was given because now there was no preacher. God said, hey, that won't stop me. I can call who I want to call. And do what I want to do. And I can empower who I need to empower. So he suddenly has Philip preaching. And when Philip preaches, he knows he's among heathen people that will not believe because they are of a generation that's still seeking for signs and wonders. Now that doesn't mean that you have to have signs and wonders. And if you're a preacher, if you don't have signs and wonders and miracles following you, that God won't use you. You better read the Bible again. John chapter 10 and verse 41, it's very plain. John the Baptist did no miracles. He was a preacher that did no miracles. He preached repentance. Baptism for repentance at that time. Because Jesus had not yet died on Calvary. And he had not yet risen from the dead. So he was preaching repentance. The message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. His message was repentance. He did no signs. He did no miracles. But look what happened. They came from the cities to hear John the Baptist preach. The problem with Philip wasn't really Philip, it was the people. The people were there and they would not hear the message. So the Lord says, I'm going to prove my faithfulness to my word. I'm going to endue Philip with this gift of miracles, this gift, gifts of healing that he has, so that the lame can walk, so that miracles can occur, and so that people can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. There's some people that they use this the wrong way. They use this gift as a sideshow. It's not a sideshow. No. These gifts are given as a precious commodity to the church. It's not something we flaunt. It's something we thank God for. There's people here today that have the gift of faith. Exercise it. Adoniram Judson in the 1800s went to Burma as a missionary. He worked there for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, they contacted him and wanted to report back to what he had done. In 7 years, Judson had one convert. They discussed whether or not to continue their support to him because he only had evidence of one convert. Judson replied to them, "My success is not based on the fact that one has been converted. My success is based on the faithfulness of God." Basically, he told them in polite words, "Stop your support. I'm staying here till I die." He had the gift of faith. By the time he died, he had translated the Bible into the Burmese language. When he died, there were 63 churches planted that he had built by the hand of God, and over 7,000 members in those churches. 7 years, one convert. By the end of his life, 7,000. He had the gift of faith. Some of you today are saying, "Oh, I'm telling you, God doesn't perform miracles." Oh, he doesn't. Then how'd you get saved? I'm interested to know that. How did you get saved if it wasn't a miracle? Well, preacher, that's not a miracle. Don't tell me it's not a miracle. For the Lord Jesus Christ to take a sinful person and to cleanse them by the blood of Christ and to change that person and make them a new creature in Christ. The things that we were ashamed of, the guilt that we had in our past, when He looks at us, we're not that person anymore. We have been changed, a new creature now, pursuing the things of God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that God has saved our soul. The greatest miracle of all.